The phone rang loud right next to his head, but he was so tired that the sound just wove itself into his fitful dream. Thick gray clouds were rolling into the city as his plane landed just a few hours ago, and by the time he arrived at his downtown motel to catch a most needed nap, thunder could be heard off to the west, down the bluff and across the river. The muggy, constricting air began to cool, then sheets of rain. Somebody said that it looked like the heavens had opened up and poured the entire Mississippi River on the city. The phone rang again, and it was time. He answered the call. Over 3,000 people braved the weather, running across the street into the Mason Temple, shaking rain from their coats and hurrying to get a seat with a good view of the platform. Martin Luther King Jr. stepped up to the microphone in support of more than 1,300 sanitation workers, garbage men, as they continued to strike to oppose low wages and subhuman treatment sanctioned by the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, his city council cronies, and perhaps unknowingly, every white person in Memphis. It was April 3rd, 1968. He started to speak, and everyone, even the storm, held their breath. Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our world. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion is all around. He knew that many in the room felt like this was a time in history in which visions had disappeared. They felt like the word of the Lord was rare. The reading from Samuel today starts in another time in history in which the word of the Lord was rare and visions were not widespread. Israel was in turmoil, and there was trouble in the land, and there was confusion all around. The tribes of Israel were in disarray. The last verse in Judges says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." Eli, a priest and judge of Israel, had sons that were also in the family business, and his boys were definitely doing what was right in their own eyes. They were corrupt and on the take from the people that they were supposed to be serving. So enter Samuel into our story, a good, honest, hardworking boy. Not from the priestly side of the tracks, though. And I imagine this obedient boy Samuel curled up next to the Ark of the Covenant in the half light of God's lamp, casting shadows on the stone walls. A voice calls out, and the boy, sleepy and confused, scurries to his master. But it wasn't Eli that called. And Eli, although losing his vision, hasn't completely lost his sight of God. He knows that God speaks when and where and to whom it's least expected. So he encourages young Samuel to receive God's word. I can't imagine how much courage it would take to go back into that dimly lit room with the shadows on the wall, knowing that the disembodied voice of God was waiting to speak to him. But brave Samuel did return, and when God called, he answered. Such a sweet story of a good boy listening to God. And that's where normally our lectionary reading ends. But if we have the option that we took today, and if we dare, we read into the darkness of the room with the shadows, into the uncertainty of what sometimes happens when God calls and you listen. God's news to Samuel was troubling. God tells the boy that he's about to turn the power structure upside down in Israel. He's going to overturn the old priestly order of corruption. Samuel is afraid to tell Eli that his sons are condemned in God's eyes, and I can't blame him. His news might end up to be good for some, but right now it's just plain bad for others. He musters all of his courage, and he starts telling God's truth, knowing full well it will be uncomfortable. It will create change. It will cause upset in the way things have always been done. It will shine a light on things that have been hidden in the dark. It will put justice first instead of what's right in a few people's eyes. It will cause some to stop and do what's right. Shortly after Dr. Martin Luther King began speaking, tornado sirens started sounding all across the Mid-South. And strangely, the rain subsided and the room was still with a feeling of oneness as he spoke on. If I don't stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen? Well, I don't know what will happen to them now. I know that we've got some difficult times ahead. He was called to be in Memphis to help tell the story of change, to speak bad news for some people, but good news for others. He was called by something bigger than himself, and when Jesus called him, he followed. King answered God's call to help this group of men that worked full time in the filth and the stench of other people's garbage and still couldn't afford to feed their families. He was tired and he was weary, and although he didn't start this fight, he knew that he had to help end it. His stop in Memphis and the call that he answered would end his life the very next day by a bullet from the gun of a white man that did not want change. Being called by God or being asked to follow Jesus is not just reserved for biblical prophets or ancient disciples. Just days after Dr. King's assassination 50 years ago, at a memorial service on the Stanford campus, a group of students and community activists demanded that Stanford recruit minority students from the surrounding communities suffering from racial discrimination. And unlike its neighbor to the west, East Palo Alto, originally the home of Silicon Valley, which gave rise to iconic companies like Hewlett-Packard and VMware, Tesla, Facebook itself, has experienced almost double the unemployment rate and a high percentage of residents that lack more than a high school diploma. This inequity started in the years after World War II, when there were unjust land use, local government policies, and white fear of living next door to the other. Community leaders in East Palo Alto, like Bob Hoover and Omo Satterwhite, were called. And they were called to speak up for the children and their community. They started schools and they worked with industry leaders, and still to this day they open their doors and their hearts to the neighborhood and to the children who deserve the same chances as their wealthy counterparts just on the other side of the highway. Being called to follow Jesus is right here at St. Timothy's, their own Bertram, who banded together with city officials and faith leaders in Mountain View because they were all tired of no one responding to the needs of the underhoused in our community. And now, in just a few weeks, we will open our parking lot to people that need a safe place to sleep, to have hope of a better life one night at a time, with respect and dignity. Maybe we've all felt that tug and that nudge. Maybe we've heard that call. And sometimes we let it ring because we know that when we pick up, we have to do something that's uncomfortable and upset the way things have always been done. Put justice first instead of what's right in a few people's eyes. Maybe it's the children that don't have enough to eat during the summer when school lunches are not offered. Or maybe it's the astronomical housing prices that's brought about maybe by the creation of jobs in big tech. Maybe it's a woman at your office that endures the flirtation of her boss, or the friends that you hear at a party making racist jokes. And maybe it's God calling. And maybe this time, that pulling at your heart, that gnawing in your soul, you just can't put it on hold. It takes courage, no doubt, to open your ears and your heart to listen what God is trying to tell you, because it may be something that's not easy for us to hear. And more than that, it may be even harder to talk about, to speak about, to let your truth be heard in a world that bends truth to fit the needs of those that use it. And just like Samuel, Jesus and the motley crew of fishermen and tax collectors that he called, you don't have to be from the priestly order to take God's call. You might not have the courage, and you might not have the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Your truth may not be an earth-shattering truth or a prime-time newsworthy truth. And you might feel that your call is so very small, but it is significant to our Lord, a truth that is not easy to tell. Because in truth, our Savior is waiting for us on the other end of the line. In truth, he calls us to the Father. Wake up. Pick up the phone.